your kingdom come. Let's have another person read. Matthew 6:9-13, New King James Version. Yes. I'm just helping you to meditate on it. Matthew 6:9-13, New King James Version. Go on, please read.
Praise God. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. This will just be one more person. Matthew 6:9-13, New King James Version. Yes. Please listen. Listen attentively. The Holy Spirit is speaking already.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay, so before I start teaching deep, let me start shallow. As you read that, as you listen to that, and of course, probably most of us know the Lord's Prayer and you've prayed it, and sometimes even without thinking. What is speaking to you? What spoke to you just this morning? Just whatever line, what came alive to you? From any aspect of Matthew 6:9-13. Yes? What came to alive to you? It's personal. Go for it.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Yeah. What came alive to you about forgiveness?
Like it says, forgive us our debt as we forgive those who have offended us and all. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So what does that imply about me not forgiving others? What?
We won't get forgiven.
Who said so? Jesus. You know, sometimes you read the Bible as if it's not God talking. You thought it was a political manifesto. He didn't really mean it. If you read verse 14, he emphasizes it again. He said, for if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive yours. Do you know the implication of that? Do you know the implication of your sins not being forgiven? You can't go to heaven. That's the simple implication. The reason why you are going to make it to heaven is not because you've never sinned. It's because you can receive what? Forgiveness. Amen. If there's no forgiveness of sin, no one can enter heaven. Hallelujah. So it shows me that there's a serious business here. That if I don't forgive others, I am creating a barrier to my own ability to receive forgiveness. And you know, there was a parable in the Bible that illustrates it. There was a servant that the master forgave a lot of debt. And then he goes back and goes to his fellow servant who owed him just a little, you know, little bit, and put him in prison. And you know what happened in that story? His forgiveness was reversed. So this is a serious spiritual principle. Yeah? So why should we forgive other people? What's the reason? Why should you forgive others? Let's give you reasons.
Because God has forgiven us for all of our
sins. Because
sin.
You have received forgiveness. And you continue to every day, by the way. Yes? Why should you forgive other more? Give me another reason. We went through that during the week. What's the master reason why should you forgive others? We went through it.
Because God is forgiving you daily.
Yes, which is what he said, but do you remember the phrase? There's a phrase in the discipleship. Why you should forgive others. Do you remember? There's a phrase in the discipleship. Why you should. The master phrase. Why you should forgive others. Anybody can quote that to me. It's along the same line.
You know, you're blocking your blessings.
Yes. But that's not my answer. But that's a good answer. Now, another reason why you should forgive others is what? You have been forgiven, yeah, but not to block your own blessing. In fact, it's not about them. It's about you. Amen? Yes? Any other reason?
Your prayers will not be answered.
Your prayers. Who talks about your? There's a passage that says your prayers can be hindered. He was talking about relationship between married people, husband and wife. Yeah, to learn to get along and forgive each other, so that your prayers will not be hindered. It can be hindered. Amen. Yes. Any other reason why you should forgive? Let me try it first.
If you don't forgive, then you'll be doing something evil, like harnessing unforgiveness or like resentment.
Yeah, it comes back to hit at you, like a cankerworm. Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, similar. It hardens your heart.
It does. Hallelujah. It does. It does. Hallelujah. One more.
I just have a question.
Yes.
If you forgive, you keep forgiving someone, do you now try to avoid them because you know if you meet this person, it's going to keep... No, I'm just trying to be logical here. Do you now keep away from that person so that this person don't make me to keep sinning? Or how do you manage that?
Thank you, sir. It's a very good question. I love questions, and questions are always very welcome in this church. Amen. Your faith is reasonable. That's why God gave you a mind. And in fact, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but that of what? Power, love, and in some, you cannot throw your mind in the bin. God gave it to you for a purpose. Hallelujah. Your faith has got to be reasonable. Yeah? Your faith is greater than your reason, but your reason can follow it. Amen? Yes. If somebody is offending you frequently, you must find a way to avoid the offense. There are some people that you can't avoid, for example. You can't avoid her. But I can avoid some offenses from her. Like when she's coming and I can already read that there's offense. Just move. But I do it in such a way that she doesn't notice. You see, don't do it in her face. You are creating another offense. What does that say us? Wisdom. Yeah? You can avoid being tripped up. You know something's going to trip you up? And you just continue going there and you continue tripping. You are proving to us that you are foolish. Let's make sense. I'm not saying you are foolish. I'm just telling you what you are proving. So yes, if somebody is offending you repeatedly, yeah, find a way to avoid the offense taking place without avoiding the person. But in some very chronic cases, there is no other way than to avoid the person. But try not to avoid the person if you can. It's in the Bible, it says, for as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all. But there are some people you cannot live peaceably with. Even when you try your best. But at least try your best. Amen? Is that okay, sir? Hallelujah. Yes, what other thing came to life in Matthew 6, 9-13 as you were reading that lost prayer? What other thing spoke to you? Yes? If I don't get an answer, I'm going to get it. Matthew 6, 9-13, what spoke to you?
That lost prayer is relevant and we should keep praying it.
It's relevant. Look. Amen. This is what I want to... You see, one of the mistakes we made as New Testament believers, particularly Pentecostals, is that we began to ignore the words of Jesus. And then we go into the epistles, yeah? And we over-amplify them above Jesus. You cannot be more spiritual than Jesus. Please don't tell anyone. Tell them, say, you can never be more spiritual than Jesus. Do you get it? You see, when Jesus was speaking, he's not speaking to unbelievers like those words are for unbelievers. They don't apply to me. Imagine the Lord's Prayer, yeah? Is it for unbelievers or believers? Tell me. Who do they apply to? It's for believers. Because Jesus lived in a transitional period from the old to the new. We could get the benefits of the new while he was here. Hallelujah. Everything he spoke is for your benefit. He's an eternal being. When he's speaking for now and for the future.
He was praying the prayer. He said, I'm not praying only for these ones, but for those who will believe in me through them. Hallelujah. Pay attention. The Lord's Prayer is the master thesis. Can I say it that way? On prayer. If you can master it and go into the depth of it and understand it, you will have mastered what? Prayer. Say, imagine they came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Then he gives them that. It looks simple, but packaged in that, yeah, is eternal volumes, yeah, of revelation about prayer. So we need to pay what? And pay attention. I told you, the spiritual things, the more you look, the more you see. Amen. When you stop looking, you stop seeing. Hallelujah. That's why we have to give attention. Proverbs 4 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Because when you find them, they are life. And they are also not just life. They are what? They are health. Hallelujah. Let me take that contribution.
Praise God. The last verse. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I think we, as Christians, we need to continue to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. Because if we know that he has all the power, Jesus, God has all the power, and this earth, heaven, is his, then we should have the boldness to resist temptation. And we know and we trust that will deliver us from evil.
Amen. Thank you. And now that you've taken us there, I need to ask that question. When you pray and say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Or let's make it personal. You say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. What does that mean? Is it God that is leading you into temptation? And you're begging him. Say, Lord, I know you normally lead people into temptation. But please, in my own case, don't lead me. Yes, please help me. Somebody help me. Why would Jesus tell us to pray that the Father, because it's addressed to the Father, by the way, I hope you understand that the Lord's Prayer is not addressed to Jesus. Hello? The Lord's Prayer is not addressed to what? You know what that teaches me? Prayer goes to the Father. Don't pray to Jesus. Pray to the Father. That's the address. When you pray like this, that's the address on the envelope. The Father is greater than the Son. They are equally God. Yeah? But in hierarchy, the Father is greater than the Son. That's why the Father sent the Son. Hallelujah. And the Son is greater than the Spirit. That's why the Son sent the Spirit. The Father is greater than the Son. That's why the Son came to represent the Father. And the Son is greater than the Spirit. That's why the Spirit now represents Jesus. He said, when he comes, he will not speak of himself. He will speak of me. There's hierarchy. There's no harmony without order. There's no harmony without what? Order. If you say anything that is working well, there's order. There's honor. There's respect. There's hierarchy. Everybody knows their place. Hallelujah. If everybody doesn't know their place, there cannot be harmony. There will be confusion and there will be chaos. Are you with me? So you address it to the Father. So back to the question. Why would Jesus teach us to pray? You can say you should pray. Lead us not into temptation. I saw some hands. Can I see the hands again? Let's go there first.
Because Jesus knows that there is, in the world where we live, we shall be faced with a lot of temptations. But we should pray that the Father should guide our steps. That we shouldn't be led into those temptations.
The Father should guide our steps. That's a good prayer. Amen? To pray. Yeah, as I'm going out in my day, in my business, in my, what else? Work. Whatever. I say, Lord, guide my steps today. Is that not a good prayer? Why will you pray that God should guide your steps? Anybody? Let me go there first. Why should you need to pray that God should guide your steps? After all, you're the owner of the leg.
Because the flesh is weak.
So what's the risk about your steps that they need to be guided?
We can trip.
You can what?
Trip.
You can trip. You can stumble against the stone. I saw some hands up again. More? Did you put your hand up? Okay. Why should you need to pray that, Lord, guide my steps?
I think when we pray, I mean, for most of us, when we pray for God to guide our step, we normally pray against maybe accident, uneventualities, and things like that. So, and I would say because there's the belief that God is giving us a free will. Because he's giving us that free will, then you now look at the God's prayer saying that, lead us not into temptation. Then you ask the question, you've given me a free will, why are you asking me again not for you for me to pray to you not to lead me into temptation? You know, so is it the free will you've given me for me to decide that? Then why is that a prayer point again? You know, so that's the way I see it. So I would say the more reason why we pray for God to guide our step is the ineventualities, the hazards that happen in this world. More like when it comes to temptation, we believe that that free will, we should apply the free will at that point to say, no, this is against the will of God, and this is what God expects us to do.
Because there's more to go to. So you can see that there's a little bit of confusion in that prayer. Lead us not into temptation, which we need to clarify. Indeed, you have free will. But your free will has consequences, both good and bad. Your free will is not invincible. Hello? You are not what? You are not invincible. And it's better you understand that. If you meet someone who is boasting and feeling cool, they've not met something bigger than them. Huh? You know when you're feeling, everybody does not have the same equal strength. Some people are stronger than others. Physically, or mentally, or emotionally, or even spiritually. Everybody has different levels of strength. However, anybody who feels they are strong in their own power has not met their match. When you meet your match, you will bow. Hallelujah. That's why you need God. Amen? You can't just dress up and just walk out and be taking steps and be feeling invincible. You will trip. You will trip not because you planned it, but you will trip because you are weak as a human being. I mean, when I'm saying that you're weak, I don't mean you're weak like you're a weakling. I mean that your strength is limited. Your mental strength is limited. When you reach capacity, yeah, you will fall apart. Your emotional strength is limited. No matter how strong you are. And that's why you need God. That's why what? You need God. Someone said one of the reasons why people do not pray is because they are proud. They think they are sufficient in themselves. So when you're praying, say, Lord, lead us or lead me not into temptation. I do accept that it includes praying, say, God, guide my steps. Help me not to trip up. Help me not to stumble. Yeah? So the way I like to say is that there are some temptations that you will have to go through, whether you like it or not. Yeah? God allows it to train you. Yeah? It's like you're in the military. I've never been, and I don't plan to join. But you see military language in the Bible is there. Yeah? If you're in the military, there's someone they call what? The drill sergeant. Anybody know that? What's going to happen? Tell us a little bit about the drill sergeant. What's their job? And why, what's their job and why?
Yeah. So from my own experience, because I served over 7 years in the Air Force, and the role of the drill sergeant is to instill discipline provide correction when needed, and to ensure uniformity of correct behavior on the drill ground. And it's not always the most pleasant experience.
Why? Why? Why a drill sergeant? Why can't we just have a military without a drill sergeant?
Because we need a framework and a structure to ensure the right behavior, performance, and representation of the unit and organization which we are a part of.
Amen. You see, there are many things. Yes, let's take a bit more comment. Thank you, sir.
I was just going to add on to that, more of like a question more than anything. Would you say the aspects of drilling and being a drill master, as repetition is like the mother of all skill, like with praying, it requires repetition, not to necessarily master it, but to understand it more, so it becomes, has like that muscle memory aspect, and it becomes more of a reaction than just kind of not knowing?
Yes, the answer is yes. Nobody gets trained in a day. Amen? You know, like if you go to medical school or nursing school and you are taught things, that's theory. When you go there in practice, you will still be retaught. And even when you've qualified, all through your career, you have been corrected, yeah, and refined so that you can form character. And many times, we go to God for our needs, but God has a need from us. He needs character. You know why? God cannot depend on you if you don't have character. You will let him down. You will mess him up, in quote. Yeah? God is looking for people he can use. God is looking for somebody he can rely on. Sometimes God has a job to do. You know, a dirty job to clean up a life. And he wants to use you. He wants to send you into that life. But if you don't have character, you will go and disappoint him. You go and make the situation worse than you came. Hallelujah. So God cannot rely on you or depend on you if he doesn't build character into you. And to build character into you, it takes you through what? Training. Yeah? And that training comes through temptations and trials. So you see, Joseph was drilled before he became the prime minister. So that he was drilled in Potiphar's house by many, all the tax officials and Potiphar's wife. So that when he becomes prime minister, he will not be giving God loads of scandals. Do you get? Like now he's prime minister, but all he has to offer God is now scandals. Is God happy now? He has disgraced God. That's one prayer I pray to God. Please help me to never what? Disgrace you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's why he allows us to go through temptation and trials. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Open there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Two versions or three? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Yes, if you have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Yes, who is ready? If you are ready, I'll go for you. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I'll come to you. Tell us which version.
New King James. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Amen. Yes, another version. Another version. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'll come to you.
This is the easy version.
Easy version?
Yes.
Wow. Go for it.
You may often want to do wrong things. The things that are difficult for you are difficult for other people too. Remember that God is always there to help you. He will not let any bad thing be too difficult for you. He'll help you to stand against it. When you want to do something wrong, God will make you strong in your spirit. He will show you a way out so that you do not do anything wrong.
Amen. Thank you. That's the easy word. Version. And let's have one more version there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Go for it.
New Living Translation.
Thank you, sir. Go for it.
The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful.
God is what?
God is faithful. Continue.
He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure.
He will show you what? A way out. See, when God allows a temptation in your life, yeah, he also shows you the way out. Because God's goal in that temptation is not to destroy you. He's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and what? To destroy. When God allows attention in life, God's goal is to train you. So there's a way out. There is a wisdom. That challenge you're going through, that thing you're going through, that frustration you're going through, there is wisdom to overcome. Hallelujah. There is wisdom, yeah, to adapt and be in charge of it. If there's anything that is challenging you, yeah, rather than letting it dominate you, your goal is to dominate it. Amen. There is wisdom in God to dominate whatever challenge or situation you're going through right now. And you can pray for wisdom. Rather than it dominating you, you can what?
You can dominate it.
Hallelujah. You can dominate it. You can dominate it and turn it around and use it for God's glory. Hallelujah. It may be challenging, but you can walk out God's glory even in the midst of that challenge. Amen. God always makes a way out. However, that was not where I was going. That's by the way. Where I'm going is that it's not every temptation that God allows. There are some temptations that it was your stupidity or your foolishness that took you into it. It was not part of the plan. We call it unnecessary temptation. If you play around, yeah, with temptation, you enter what? Unnecessary. There's unnecessary temptation. Hello? Something was about to happen in a place. God's plan was to preserve you from going there. But you didn't pray. And you went straight into the trap that Satan has set for you. It was not part of 1 Corinthians 10:13. This one was the result of what? Your foolishness. That is the prayer you say, Lord, help me not to stray. It's a straying. It's not in the plan. It's a straying into unnecessary temptation. If you play around the sin zone, you will find sin. And God did not send you there. Amen? So that prayer, this is not in temptation. I'll break it down for you. Is help me. And you should be praying it daily. Help me not to stray into what? Unnecessary temptation. The one that is in the plan, you can't avoid it. Well, you can, but you'll never be trained. You remain a spiritual baby. Eat, drinking what? Or you'll be drinking? Milk. You like milk.
May I just ask a question on that point?
Yes.
A very good study is David and Bathsheba. Would it be fair to say that that was not in God's plan for David?
Not in the plan. Hallelujah. It was not what? In the plan. God had to make some adjustments. It was unnecessary temptation. Hallelujah. It happened when David became complacent. And you mean, you see, there are two accounts of the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew and in Luke. Luke gives us the biological account. Jesus is not the biological offspring of Solomon. He's the biological offspring of Nathan. Both were sons of David. Check your Bible. So the account in Matthew is not from the account in Luke. Joseph is the biological offspring of Solomon. Yeah, but Joseph is not the biological father of Jesus. Huh? His biology came from Mary and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, am I right? So God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah.
So you need to pray. But another way of praying that prayer is, God, guide my steps. If you not like the sound of praying, lead me not into trouble, but at least you can pray what? Guide my steps. Order my steps. And when you are stepping, I want you to be conscious that you need to be guided. You don't want to go to where God doesn't want you to be. You can enter unnecessary temptation. But you know God is faithful, yeah? Even when you're in unnecessary temptation, you can cry. What can you do? You ever start learning how to cry? You know when the baby is born, what's the first thing they do? What's the first thing they do when babies, you see a lot of them. So when babies are born, what's the natural, you know, standpoint, from natural standpoint, what's the natural thing you expect of a baby that is just born?
Cry.
I'm sure you've seen many babies that didn't cry when they were born. So what's the medical interpretation of that?
I'll just rub their back. Slap their bum.
Amen. Cry! It's in the Bible, Luke 18. He said, shall God not avenge his elect? Who cry out to him? When you're in a mess, what do? Cry, say, God! Fall prostrate before him. That's humility. Well, not false humility, yeah. But I'm just saying, yeah. Cry. You see, when you come to the end of it, you say, God, I'm nothing. Because you are nothing without him, by the way. Help me. Oh, maybe you can say, cry, that's God, I messed up. Big time. Help me. It's a good prayer. It's what? It's a good prayer. That's why lead us not into intention. It's followed by what? This is also evil. You now to learn to cry. Amen? God hears the cry of his people. Hallelujah? He does. But when we stop crying, yeah? It's an evidence that we have stopped depending on him. This is the issue. The danger, the real danger spiritually is to depend on yourself. Because you are living in the flesh. Yeah? You are limited. Your knowledge is limited. Your strength is limited. Your ability is limited. So how do you then depend on yourself? Yeah? You memorize some Bible verses. Now you know the Bible. You are the professor of the Bible. Now you think you can depend on yourself? Yeah, nothing. Jesus said, he said, abide in me. He said, for without me, you are what? You are nothing. It doesn't matter how much you feed, how much Bible verses you put feed in your head. Yeah? It's the Spirit of God that brings the Word of God to life. The letter, yeah, is just letter. But when the Holy Spirit breathes upon it, yeah, it brings it to life. So in prayer, you are engaging. To abide is to actively engage. Jesus said, abide in me. I know you are born again. Like when you are born and say you are born again, you've at one time or the other, you have consciously, voluntarily, intentionally surrendered your life to Jesus totally. It's not because you came to church or because your father is a pastor. I always say that. Amen. You made a conscious, voluntary, intentional, unrepentant decision to follow Jesus and let him have his way with you. Totally. Totally. Jesus is not like the star on your Christmas tree. Are you with me? Jesus cannot be the star that you added to your Christmas tree. You know you had the Christmas tree. Then you now put it as this crowning star of your Christmas tree. Your Christmas tree is too poor for Jesus to be his star. Hallelujah. John 15 says, he said what? Read it. John 15, 1. Open your Bible to John 15, 1. John 15, verse 1. Yes, let's have two readings. John chapter 15, verse 1. By the way, you know, your Christmas is what you built. Yeah? Your Christmas is what you made of your life.
Jesus cannot come and be the star of it. Sorry. He's too poor. John 15:1. Yes? Who is ready? Yes, thank you. Why not? I've been waiting for you. John 15:1.
I'm reading from Amplified Version.
Go for it.
I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser.
Amen. Who is talking there? Jesus. He's the true vine. Another version? Another version? Yes? Another version? John 15:1.
King James.
Yes.
I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman.
I'm the true vine and my Father is what?
The husbandman.
Now let's go to simpler versions. I'm looking for some other words. Yes, that's this way. Let's find ESV first. Oh, sorry. You first. I'll come to you. Yes. John 15:1.
New Living Translation.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm the true grapevine.
I'm the true grapevine. So now it's talking about the grapevine. Continue.
And my Father is the gardener.
My Father is what? I come back to that, but I think I'm coming to you very soon. But before that, let's go to your wife. John 15:1.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
I am the true vine. When he's telling that he's true vine, what's that implying? What is that implying to you? They are fake vines. They are pretend. They look like the true one, but they are fake. Because a fake one is of no value if it's not deceiving you. The question, sir, is, what do you think is the master tool of a gardener? Well, just use one tool. In all the tools that you know that at least can cut across most of the things you do. Don't disappoint me.
Secateurs.
Sorry?
Secateurs.
Now I'm finished. What's it mean?
So like little clippers. Like.
It's a cutter. A gardener, their master tool is what? Cutting. Gardening. I know there are many other things here. And I'm not necessarily the best gardener, I know. But gardening is the business of cutting. Do you agree? Jesus is the vine. You can't make him a star of your Christmas tree. He's too poor. He has to be the very stem on which your life is built. If you are born again. If you are not born again, no problem. You don't know him. But if you are born again, he is the real stem. He is the true vine. You are the branch. You see, you are a subsidiary. I want you to get the picture. If you are in Christ, you are a subsidiary. Is that the right English? Yeah? Somebody check Google for me. Let me make sure. Check that I'm using that word rightly. Please. Watch my back. You are a subsidiary. Huh? He is divine. You build on him. Without him, you are no sap. Nothing. Anything you built was useless. Without him, you are nothing. Now, if that's not your relationship with Jesus, you are not born again. And I don't need to deceive you. I'm saying because I love you. To tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. If that's not your relationship with Jesus, you are not born again. If you don't understand that, actually, I'm just a branch hanging off Jesus. And if I take Jesus away, I'm finished. If you don't understand that relationship, you are not born again. Hallelujah. Now, for those who understand that relationship, Jesus is not saying to us, yeah? Let's read it now. John 15, 1 to 6. John 15, 1 to 6. John 15, 1 to 6. Who would like to read? John 15, 1 to 6. Yes. John 15, 1 to 6. Please open your Bible there. John 15, 1 to 6. Try not to be distracted.
New King James.
Yes.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them away into the fire, and they are burned.
Amen. Let me just clarify this again. Who is just talking to here? Believers or unbelievers? Amen. If you are in him, that was, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? It's a new creation. So this is talking to people who are in him. This is not the business of anybody not in him. They don't understand this language. They will never understand it, because unless a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot understand it. But when you have totally surrendered to Christ, and you have totally embraced all him and all that is in the package, you begin to understand this. Yeah? He said, without me, verse 6, you can do nothing. But we do know that we can do many things, isn't it? Oh yeah, I can go and play football after 7. I don't need Jesus' permission. Don't I have free will, sir? I do. I can do that. Can cook a nice meal. Excuse me. Do you need Jesus' permission before you cook a nice meal? If you want to cook a nice meal for your husband, who do you ask, Jesus or your husband? What if you tell him that, look, Jesus has told me. No, don't say not to cook, maybe a stream. Just say, Jesus told me that today, your lunch will be noodles. How do you think that we sell? Well, you will cook it, but it's very likely that your son will eat it. Amen? Hallelujah. So we can do things. But you cannot do anything of eternal value. You cannot do anything that is acceptable without him. You can't go and do your own pack and say, oh Lord, see, my achievement is for your glory. No, sir. He didn't send you. He didn't want it. It's only what he wants that will please him. He's not a robot. Yeah? He doesn't have a low IQ. Only what he wants will what? Please him. So, if I want to please him, I ought to ask him. Hello? If you want to please someone, what do you do? Ask them what they want. And when you told you what they want, please try not to go and do your own thing. But you can do your own thing, but don't ask them, don't say you want to please them. Hello? If you want to do your own thing, do it. And say, I did it my way. And I don't care. At least don't be an hypocrite. You were not interested in pleasing him. So I won't pretend to. But if you want to please him, ask him. That's why we pray. Say, Lord, guide my way. Order my steps. Amen. Lead me in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Hallelujah. Say, I'm too small. Because God is too big. I want to see that picture. Hallelujah. If you're going to fit in his plan, you need to understand your smallness and his bigness. Amen? That will help you depend on him. And prayer is one of the ways we depend. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'll come back to John 15 later. Let me just try to go back to your kingdom come, and use the remaining time I have on that. So the question is this. When we pray and say, your kingdom come, and your will be done. First of all, I say, when I was younger as a believer, when I read the Lord's Prayer, I said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I saw worship. You know, I saw worship. I entered, you know, God's presence with worship. But actually, here, at this point, we're already in the depths of prayer. We're not entering his gates. We are there already. So, but I don't see that now. When I say our Father, say when you pray, say our Father. I see first the address of my prayer is to the Father. Prayer focuses on the Father. Prayer services your relationship with the Father. Amen. Secondly, the basis of prayer is relationship. Hallelujah. When I come to prayer, I need to come understanding now that God is my Father. Do you know the meaning of that? Yeah? Do you know when you enter and say, our Father in heaven? Do you know what you just declared yourself? You have declared yourself as a citizen. You are a citizen of heaven. To say, our Father in heaven. You declare yourself as a son. Hallelujah. You have declared that the interest of the Father, yeah, are your interest. Hallelujah. It's the basis of all prayer. Now, if you're an unbeliever, you can pray. But the best prayer I can pray as an unbeliever is mercy. Lord, what? Have mercy on me. Everything you're praying as an unbeliever, what are you praying? Mercy. You don't have a relationship with the Father. You know him, but he doesn't know you. Yes. There's a question.
Something just came into my mind about our Father, about like the personification. So you don't like say my Father, you say our. Is there a particular reason?
Yes, you can say my Father, because he was talking to them as a group. So you can see he said give us this day. So that's plural. So you can see everything in that prayer is us, aha, ah. So he's talking to a group of disciples. But when it's you personal, is my.
Okay. I was thinking of fellowship.
Yes, in fellowship, he is our Father. You cannot colonize him. You're going to say, God, I'm angry, my sister. Can you give her a punish her for me? Because he's also our Father. Amen? And maybe it's good to remember that when we're praying. You know, there's no room in the true spiritual prayer for selfishness. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no room for selfishness. He's our Father. But he's also my Father. Amen. Say, God, I rejoice to know that God is my Father. Hallelujah. And the Bible also says he's the father of the fatherless and he's the husband of widows. Hallelujah. So I see relationship when I say, my Father in heaven. You know, when I made that statement, you know what it tells me? I'm not lost and I'm not helpless. I have a Father and he sits on the throne, the very throne room of the universe. Amen. Amen. That's what we're saying. That's how we enter prayer. Then it says, hallowed be your name. Do you know the meaning of hallowed be your name? Again, going out, just see that's worship. It's more than worship. What's the third commandment? What's the third commandment? He said, what? Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But that's not just saying, don't swear. No. It's really, the depth is do not dishonor the name. You see, we sing a song, worthy is your name. Yeah? You have to represent that name well. Hallelujah. You are what? The Bible says, let him that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That's part of hallowing his name. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to represent that name well. I want to wear that name well. I want to honor that name. I want to seek the honor of that name wherever I go. I want his name to be honored wherever I go. Because I'm there. People around me will not dishonor the name of the Lord. And if they are, I'm not going to laugh to it and say they were joking. Because if you want to know, try substituting that name of the Lord with the name of their father, their surname. Maybe want to tell you, try using their surname. See whether they will laugh at it. Yeah? Put their surname in that joke. Write the name of the Lord. See whether they will smile. So why will I allow you, yeah, catch a joke on the name of my father? I don't know whether it's your father. It's my father. Someone said, God's business is not any man's business. And it sounded very spiritual. I'm talking about someone I know. He's like, God's business is not any man's business. No! God is my father. Yeah, I don't know about you. And his business is what? It's personal. Well, of course, maybe it's not personal to you because you don't know God as your father. That's why you take his business for granted. But when God is your father, his business is what? That's why when Jesus went to the temple and they were buying and selling and messing about, what did he do? He thought Jesus could not do it. Yeah? He took a whip and he whipped there. Why this? Why? He said, my father's house shall be called the house of what? Of prayer. But you are making it a den of thieves. So you know what he was fighting for? The honor of his name. Hallelujah. So that's the prayer you're praying there. He now says, thy kingdom come. Okay, I will stop there. Because last week I overshot. And I must be disciplined. So that we'll continue the message next week. Let's rise up and talk to God. Let's talk to God. I know it's not about me saying everything I want to say. It's about the Holy Spirit saying what he wants to say to you. Now, you may not appreciate the value of what we are saying today, but you don't understand that some of the other things going on in your life are an overflow of not getting the foundation right. Because the foundation is destroyed, that's why Satan can operate. If the foundation is right, Satan cannot operate. The worst life lived is a life where you have labored and toiled, yeah? Trying to acquire material things, then at the end of life you find out that it was all for nothing. And you have no treasure in heaven. In fact, not just you are not even going to heaven. You deceived yourself. That's the worst life. That's the most foolish person on earth. The most foolish person on earth. You came to this world, you live also and tussle, and at the end of life you are not going to heaven. You are a big fool. Or you are, but you are going with nothing, zero to show for your life because all your treasures were on heart. There's no treasure in heaven. You call God your father, but you never service that relationship with him. His business was not your business. In fact, you're always trying to make him do your own business for you. You were never in his plan. You thought his plan was not good enough. You thought he doesn't want the best things for you. So you made your own plans. And you drifted out of his plan. And because of that, you went into unnecessary temptations. And of course, you use the technique of the world to fix yourself. You thought you were doing well. But actually, you were just squandering your soul. So I want you to pray to God today and say, Lord, if all you got today was just to reset your relationship with the Father, and you understand that you are a branch. You are a branch hanging off a stem. And that it is through him that you receive the sap that helps you to flourish and produce fruit. That all your life depends on your relationship with him, the stem. I want you to pray into that. I say, Lord, Father, you are my Father. You are my Father in heaven. I recognize you. You know what the first commandment says? Is he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's still the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. Because that's the only way he can guide your way. You see, if God is not first place, he can't guide your way. Even if you are praying, but you are not making him first place, even if he gives you instruction, you will not follow. You will not follow it because you are smarter and wiser than him, aren't you? Pray and say, Lord, Father, I put you in your place. Number one, my life depends on you. Without you, I am nothing. Guide me. Lead me. Help me. Teach me. Instruct me. Direct my path. Direct my way. Show me what is important. Show me what is not important. Help me to drop the things that are not important. And help me to focus on what is important. Help me to abide in you. To abide is to actively engage. Help me to be a true believer. I'm fed up and I'm tired of being a religious hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who says they are something that they are not. I want to be genuine. I want to be real. I want to be for real. I want to be for real. For real with Jesus. For real with Jesus. I pray your kingdom come in my life. Your will be done in my life. Because your will is the best thing ever for me. Ever. Ever. Your plan is the best plan ever for me. So open my eyes. Help me to know what is in the plan and to follow it. You have told me, if I can seek your kingdom and your righteousness, all the things I need, one way or the other. Now, of course, that includes my own diligence and hard work, but you'll be guiding me. One way or the other, they'll be added. And I choose to trust in you. In Jesus' name. Let's sing, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. And I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you alone. That's the song. I will trust in you alone. It's a statement that just recognizes that he's divine. And I'm just a branch. I mean, that applies to you if you're born again. If you're not born again, it doesn't apply to you. You can't understand it. You can't understand it. I will trust in you alone. Do you have it? Do you have it, son? For the slides from a media team. It's frozen.
The Lord's my shepherd, but I'm not one. He makes me lie. Mercy follows me.